Well, I'm not emotional, but I'm just. We going there!
What's up, Noll Nation? We are here to talk about the College World Series. Florida State is making their 24th appearance. Of course, we had to play the Mike Martin Magic. We are going back, and we're just so excited to be in this. I am also excited to be joined by my friend Michael from the Vol Fanatic Show. And guys, this is what we talked about before with the College Huddle. This is kind of the power of the College Huddle, where we can reach out and get insight from other podcasts that cover these teams. We actually have a representative for every team in the College World Series, so we may be leaning on them going forward. Hopefully, we keep going so we can keep leaning on some other teams. But, Michael, thank you so much for joining me. How are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good. I appreciate you having me on. Glad that we were able to do this, you know, after Tennessee dropped game two and Florida State went to extras in game two. We were both messaging each other like, did we jinx this trying to talk it into existence? But no, glad to be on here. Glad to talk a little bit of baseball for the College World Series.
Yeah, man, I was the same way. It was like, you know, that first game we came out, I mean, Florida State just trounced UConn 24-4. It was like, okay, we're cruising. I didn't expect that. I knew UConn was a pretty tough veteran team. And then they came back and gave us all we wanted, 12 innings. I mean, we got a little chippy there towards the end, kind of had some words back and forth between Cam Smith and UConn's pitcher. Like, it was a heated game. You know, the crowd was crazy. The atmosphere was awesome inside Hauser. You know, the animals of Section B. Got to give a tip of the cap to you guys because, I mean, this was an environment like old school Hauser. This is what we've been missing for a long time. You know, and now we've got past that dry period and we are back in the College World Series. But it ain't going to be an easy path. So we drew the number one seed in Tennessee to start out with. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at our side of the bracket because we got North Carolina and Virginia are already seeded in our side of the bracket as well. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to dive into Tennessee, Florida State. Because I feel like, Michael, this is going to be one of the best matchups of the first games in the College World Series. I think you got two teams here that won. I think these are teams that, I mean, I know I sound like an old dude when I'm saying this, but these teams got swag. I mean, they like to jaw jack a little bit. They like to get in your face a little bit. You got a little bit of history there with Link Jarrett and what happened a couple years ago to Tennessee. Of course, he's not with Notre Dame anymore, so maybe. But you know, he's still coaching against the same coach, so there's probably a little bit of revenge on the mind there. And then also, we were talking about this before we jumped on. This is going to be a freaking fireworks show. I mean, these teams combined for 25 home runs in the Super Regional across five games. So, man, it's going to be really, really excited. So let's jump into this. Let's take a look at our side of the bracket first. Now, the other side, they're still deciding. NC State, Georgia are playing to see who makes it in there. But, you know, once we get to the College World Series, it'll only be one left. So we're not even going to worry about them today. So looking at our side of the bracket, we have Florida State, Tennessee, UVA, and UNC. Of course, we play Tennessee first, and Virginia and North Carolina play first. So let's look at some numbers here. For the national seeding here, we have Florida State comes in at 8th. Of course, Tennessee is the top seed. UVA is 12th. They are the lowest seeded team in this bracket on our side. And then UNC comes in at 4th. Of course, we know UNC is the ACC, the regular season champion. Tennessee, you guys were, I believe, regular season and SEC tournament champions, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And then, as you guys know, Florida State played Virginia in the ACC tournament. We did beat them. That was the only time we played them. We did not play UNC. Our team records here, you can see Florida State comes in at 47-15. And, you know, Michael, I don't know how closely you follow Florida State baseball. Probably not real close. We were 23-31 last year and dead last in the ACC. So, like, this is a massive, massive turnaround for this program in year two. You know, it's like, I was going to ask you, as far as Tennessee, like, how you felt this season. Did it meet the mark for you guys? But for us, man, I didn't see this coming. Even when we started, like, I think we were 19-20-0 at some point, and it was like, man, we got swept by Clemson early, and I was like, I don't know if we're going to make it to Omaha. But, man, this is a complete turnaround of a season. How do you guys feel about Tennessee's season before we jump back into the numbers?
So, honestly, this season has exceeded my expectations because, you know, everyone talks about the 2022 team that was arguably the best regular season team of all time. I mean, I can't remember the exact record, but it was like 56-9 was their.
I had to wrote down 57-9. I was like, goodness gracious.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone talks about that team, and Skyler and I have talked at different times being like, I feel like this team is just overrated. I mean, they kept being ranked right up there in the top five, and we both said on multiple occasions, we just don't feel like we're that good. And fast forward, you're the number one overall seed. You're going to the College World Series again. Is this team that good or even better? I don't know, but they've gone farther than that 2022 team. So this season for Tennessee has exceeded my expectations. I always said that it should have been College World Series, but I didn't feel like they've got a shot like they do this year to win it all.
Yeah, and the good thing is for you guys, it seems like you're peaking kind of at the right time. If you said you kind of started a little slow, but then came on late, and really for us, we started really hot. A lot of that had to do with the competition. Then we kind of found, you know, we battled back and forth through the ACC tournament. And then the way the ACC championship, I mean, we got our doors blown off by Duke, and it was like, okay, we're kind of slumping at the wrong time. And then they just turned it on in the postseason. So hopefully they can keep that going for our sake anyway. But back to the numbers. Tennessee comes in again, another great season. We just talked about 57-9 2 years ago, 55-12, not too far off of that great season mark that you guys had a couple years ago. Virginia comes in at 46-15, North Carolina at 47-14. I put down neutral site games. And the reason I do this is because when you look at Florida State, we are 31-4 at home, or 31-4 at home. And our road record is nowhere near as good as the home record. I think we're 8-10 or something like that. So I think it matters. You know, some teams just, they struggle to win on the road. But looking at the neutral site, because obviously we know Omaha's neutral, Florida State is 7-1, Tennessee is 6-2, UVA is 4-3. And this one surprised me a little bit. UNC is 1-3 in neutral site games. RPI rank, Florida State comes in at 5th, Tennessee 3rd, UVA 9th, and North Carolina is 16th. Strength of schedule, Florida State is right in the thick of it with 24th ranked strength of schedule, Tennessee at 23rd, UVA at 28th, and UNC with the toughest strength of schedule at 16th. Quad 1 record, 9-8 for Florida State, 21-9 for Tennessee. Man, something about when we talked about Alabama in the regional that we thought we were going to be matched up with, they played like 30 something quad one games. And I was like, man, that the SEC is just, I mean, as much as coming from an ACC guy, hopefully not for long, we don't really like to, you know, give the SEC, pump the SEC up a little bit, but man, that's just a killer conference to navigate through. Of course, the ACC was a really good year for this conference as well, but we didn't have to play some of those teams. UVA comes in with a 10-8 quad one record, and UNC at 500 with 10-10. So far in the postseason, includes your conference tournament, Florida State is 8-1. Their loss came against Duke in the ACC championship. Tennessee at 9-2, UVA at 6-1, and UNC at 6-2. So, man, out of this bracket, from your perspective, because obviously from us, we're looking at, you know, UNC is obviously the ACC champion. They had a really great season. We already beat UVA once, but Tennessee is a just machine coming into this College World Series. As a Tennessee fan, who is the other team that you're worried about out of this bracket?
I told you before we came in here, it's Florida State. I mean, when you've got a Friday night starter like you do in Jamie Arnold, man, he's in my opinion, going to be the number one overall pick in next season's draft. I mean, when you look at it today, and when you've got a guy like that on the mound, I think you would be crazy if Florida State decided to hold him off for a, you know, loser's bracket game. I mean, in my opinion, you got to go with your best and try to get on top of it early. I think that definitely puts some worry in my mind, but also the bats on Florida State. I mean, you go down the list and yeah, Tennessee has got more home runs overall, but it's almost like looking into a mirror when it comes to just top to bottom, the lineup, it's crazy. Now, I've watched North Carolina some in the postseason. They're also a very good team. I hadn't watched Virginia as much, but I know they've got some history as of late in the College World Series, but just overall on our side of the bracket, it's either Tennessee or it's Florida State.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. We were talking about this before the show. I think if you're Link Jarrett, we saw him in the regional and the super regional. He gambled a little bit. He threw Carson Dorsey out there first to try and save his arm for the better teams later in the bracket. But, man, this is Tennessee, the number one seed coming in on fire. I think you got to just go no holds barred. You got to try and get that win because we know as Florida State fans – our Achilles heel is bullpen depth. We don't want to get deep into that bullpen, because if we do, we're in trouble. And so I think you got to try and stay in the winner's bracket, and that's going to be throwing Jamie Arnold game one against Tennessee, because he really, I mean, he has been one of the best pitchers in the country, obviously our ace, and I think you got to ride that arm to try and stay in the winner's bracket. So getting to Tennessee, we're going to talk about this matchup first, now that we've talked about some of the other teams. How did Tennessee got here? Some notable series. You guys beat K-State, who was a team that made it deep into the postseason. You also won series against Ole Miss, UGA, Kentucky, Florida, Vandy, and you swept LSU and South Carolina. So this team is battle-tested. They have been through it. They have faced good competition. So, I mean, we can't take this lightly. The offense is going to have to show up. You know, when you look at the offensive numbers, I mean, this is going to be a slugfest. And you know, we definitely understand that we're going to have to put up some runs to try and win this game. And so looking at offense here, runs per game, they are putting up 9.2 runs per game. That is sixth in the country. FSU is just slightly behind them at 9.0, which is 12th in the country. Hits per game, Florida State actually gets a little edge here, 11.1 to 10.4 for Tennessee. Your team batting average, Florida State has another slight little edge here, 316 to 310. Florida State has six hitters batting over 300. Tennessee has five. Of course, these are guys that are actually playing significant amount of at-bats. Doubles here, UT does get the edge, 150 to 132. Home runs, like you said, man, this is going to be a fun fireworks show of a game. I mean, this number doesn't even feel real. 173 home runs on the season, eight guys in double digits. You just hit, I think, seven in the last game against Evansville. Florida State, though, not too shabby. 123 home runs on the season, five in double digits. James Tibbs is our leader with 28. That's another guy. That's one of our you know, obviously ACC player of the year. We're going to have him come up big. He slumped a little bit early in the postseason, but, man, then he, I mean, three two-run home runs in the last game, needed him big. Stolen bases, not a whole lot of aggressive base running, it looks like, from Tennessee. I'll get your thoughts on that in just a second. 42 of 62. Florida State is 64 of 74. Now, the player you need to know, and I'll let you tell me if I'm right here, just by looking at the numbers, is Christian Moore. Man, this guy is good. Junior infielder, batting average of 375, 101 hits on the season, 32 home runs, leads the team, RBI 71 on the year, slugging percentage of 796, and on base of 453. This guy is just an offensive fireworks show. And so I think, like, he is our James Tibbs. You know, he is going to be our yin to yang for our best hitter. You know, we have a couple other guys like Cam Smith, and Florida State has a really deep lineup where you don't really rely on that one guy. And I know Tennessee's the same way, but that looks like the one guy that you really, maybe you want to throw him some balls in the dirt more than anything.
Yeah, and you know, you look at his numbers there and you see the 32 home runs, but only 71 RBIs, and you know, I say only, that's still a lot of RBIs.
Yeah.
It's because he's in that leadoff spot. I mean, we've got our best hitters sitting in the cleanup spot right now. He's the all-time home run leader at Tennessee and still counting. But he is the emotional leader on this team, and the guys they take after him. You know, he slumped in games one and two in the Super Regional, but he came up to bat yesterday, his very first at bat, bottom of the first inning, and tanked one like 407 feet over the porch in left field. And as soon as he hit that, I said, well, Tennessee is going to win. It's just a matter of how much at this point. And I could not have scripted seven home runs. I had no idea that was going to happen. But he ended up hitting two yesterday. But he's... And it's crazy. You look at those numbers, you think, man, he's got to be up there for player of the year, whether it's conference or national. Any other year, he probably would be. But when you got guys like Jack Caglione and Charlie Condon, and I can't remember the guy from Oregon State, but I mean, when you got guys like that having the seasons that they are, you just get overshadowed. I mean, this dude won the Triple Crown in the SEC this year for most conference home runs, batting average, and RBIs. Still didn't win conference player of the year. I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, Cags is basically carrying Florida for the most part. I mean, he's their best pitcher, their best batter. I mean, that guy is an MLB player. And then, like you said, for Georgia, Charlie Condon, man, I mean, he is just, every time he touches the ball, it's in the grandstand. So that's crazy. So now we know the guy we need to watch out for. But give me a guy who's probably the most underrated player who maybe people aren't talking about, that you know when he comes to the plate, you better watch out.
Okay, so I have been on this for the last few weeks, and he was very hot in the Super Regionals, but a guy that I think is one of the most clutch players on this team this year, Hunter Ensley sitting in the five spot in the lineup. He's our center fielder, and it seems like every time that he comes up to the plate with runners on, you know, you need a big hit, he delivers, whether that be a single that drives in a run or even a three-run home run. I mean, I couldn't count the amount of times he's come up and we're like, all right, all we need is just put one in play, and then here comes a home run from Hunter Ensley. He's hit 11 on the year, and I think five or six of those have been three-run home runs. I mean, it's crazy. So he's probably the most clutch player, in my opinion, on this team. And he's getting hot at the right time. But another one I'll say, Cal Stark. He's the nine guy in the lineup. He is the leader on this team as far as the just the leadership behind the plate. He's our catcher. He handles his pitching staff very well. And I think between the regionals and super regionals, he hit six home runs, if I'm not mistaken. So he's getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's impressive. And I mean, that's the thing. I think with both of these teams, it's like you have the guys that you know about. You have the James Tibbs. You have, you know, the Simos. You have all those guys. But man, both of these lineups are so deep. I mean, the guy that you're talking about now reminds me of Jaime Ferrer for us, like a guy who's just, he doesn't steal the show like a Cam Smith or a James Tibbs, but man, he quietly comes through with a home run here, an RBI there, you know, a big play. And like, that's just, man, it's top to bottom with these teams. You can never take a batter off. And that's what's so tough, is they just come at you in waves and they never stop. And, you know, this is a very well-coached team too. I know he's led you guys to the College World Series in what, I think, three of the last four seasons. You know, so you guys are experienced and you're big in the moment. And I think that's one thing that I worry about a little bit, is we have Link Jarrett who's a great coach, and we love him and what the job that he's done. But, you know, Tennessee has a little bit more experience in this environment than we do, because we missed it last year. We've missed it the last couple of years as we were searching for, you know, kind of searching for our way after Mike Martin passed away. But now, man, I'm ready to see what we can do, because it's just been, you know, Link, you got to trust him. I mean, we talk about going up against this Tennessee team, and, you know, we saw how the things played out with Link Jarrett a few years ago. And so we know that maybe he has a little secret sauce. Maybe he does. But yeah. I mean, it's going to be really difficult. Now, we know Florida State has a great offense, one of the best offenses in college baseball, along with Tennessee's. But let's talk about the defense for Tennessee that they're going to be facing. Because as I'm putting these numbers together, Michael, I mean, it's impressive on both sides of the coin here. So Tennessee's defense, runs per game allowed, is 4.1. They do get the edge to Florida State, who allows 5.3 runs per game on average. Hits per game is around 7.6 allowed. Florida State does give Tennessee the edge here at around 8.3 runs per game allowed. Your team ERA, Tennessee comes in at 3.83. Florida State comes in at 4.86. The batting average against these teams, Tennessee carries a .238 batting average against their pitching staff. Florida State is at .247. So, man, it's, again, like, these numbers are so close when you go down the line. It's like these teams are very – very close in these numbers. Now, team fielding percentage is also another story here, where Tennessee's at .978 and Florida State is at .979. Errors per game on average, dead even, .08 per game on average. Stolen bases allowed, Tennessee 48 of 63. This is something that I worry a little bit with Florida State. I'm glad that I saw you guys weren't extremely aggressive on the base path. We do allow 87.5% of stolen base attempts to make the trip to second, whereas you guys are around 76.2%. So this defense it's good for Tennessee, without a doubt. Now, the player that I picked for defense, and I'll let you talk about this guy as well as some other guys on the defensive side of things, is this pitcher, A.J. Causey, junior, right-handed pitcher, 86 innings pitched, 13-3 record, 3.77 ERA. And these numbers, we were talking about this before the show. This is our Jamie Arnold, it seems like to me, by looking at his numbers. Strikeouts at 117, walks all the way down at 19, and the opposing batting average here, obviously very impressive. So am I right by thinking A.J. Causey is our version of the Jamie Arnold that we have to throw at you? Because a lot of teams don't have that really dominant ace, but it seems like this guy is one that, man, he's going to be hard to hit on.
So he's definitely hard to hit on. And, you know, entering the season, I wouldn't have told you that, because we talked a little bit beforehand. Both teams have kind of gone through the same thing. Y'all's Friday night starter went down at the beginning of the season with an injury. So did Tennessee's. A.J. Russell for Tennessee, he was our Friday night guy. dominated Texas Tech in the opening game of the season and then went down with an injury. But A.J. Causey, he came in and filled that role as the Friday night starter, went through a midseason slump. I think he lost two SEC games in a row. Talked to the coaches. He said, I feel more comfortable coming out of the bullpen. So on Friday night, we bring out an opener. Normally it's Chris Stamos. He's an experienced guy. If he can get us three innings, we feel confident most of the time that Causey can get us through the rest of the game or at least to the ninth inning. And then, you know, in the first game of the regionals, Stamos only went one third of an inning, and AJ Causey comes in and just set people down. I think he went right at six innings or 5 2/3, something along that line. But he's an unconventional guy. He is he's a sidearm guy that can go distance. I mean, you saw the numbers right there. He has gone, I believe it's 80-something innings this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 86 innings so far.
Yeah, 86 innings this year and 13-3 record. He's really a fantastic guy. But if you would have asked me this towards the beginning of the year, who I thought that the ace was, it's actually our Saturday guy, Drew Beam. Mm-hmm. And he's been that guy. He's been Mr. Consistent for us since he came in 3 years ago or 2 years ago because he's a junior this year, true junior. But he's taken a bit of a step back this year. I think some guys are figuring some things out about him because of how long he's been pitching. Yeah. But those two guys are definitely our 1-2 punch, and we've just been very thankful to have Xander Sechrist. He's our Sunday guy, and he pitched a gem of a game last night. You know, everybody talks about the seven home runs hit, the offensive just output that Tennessee had last night. But Xander Sechrist, man, goes 6 1/3 last night. Only gave up one run, just unbelievable outing.
Yeah, I got Drew Beam here as a junior right-handed pitcher, 93.1 innings pitch, 8-2 record, 4.44 ERA, 85 Ks to 23 walks. So, I mean, the numbers are good. And, you know, the thing is, man, it sounds like we have a lot of similarities. Like with the sidearm guy that can go stretches for you, that's pretty much Jamie Arnold. I mean, his comparison I've heard a lot is to Randy Johnson, that kind of that fast-release sidearm, that kind of odd motion. And then Drew Beam, he sounds a lot like our Connor Whitaker, a guy who's a veteran guy. He's been there for years. He's kind of been your staple that you can go to. And I did notice when I was looking at some of the numbers, it does seem like Tennessee maybe takes a little chance early on. Like they put somebody out there to kind of see how they can do. And if the game looks like they need to bring in that ace, they bring him in, because it didn't look like a lot of times Causey was the starter. It looks like he came in. And so it's an interesting approach, but I guess maybe you kind of gamble and see what you got. And then if you feel like you need to throw the hammer at him, then you bring him in off the bench.
Yeah. This is a team that I've seen more arms this year say that they're more comfortable coming out of the pen than doing that starting rotation. Another guy that is like that is Nate Snead, who normally follows Xander Sechrist on Sunday. In the SEC tournament game one, Tennessee did a midweek type of rotation in that one, just so we could have our Friday, Saturday, and Sunday guys kind of keep on some sort of a similar rotation through the rest of the tournament. So we threw Nate Snead out there to start, and he had 5 runs put up on him in the first 2 innings of the game. And afterwards, he kind of talked to the pitching staff. He said, look, I'm a little bit more comfortable coming out of the pen. And when he comes out of the pen, he gets his normal routine in there. Skyler and I have talked about this a lot. Both of us played baseball. We both pitched some in high school. You get as a pitcher into a routine. And when you get used to that routine, if something throws it off, a lot of times you're not pitching well. So these guys, they have a certain routine that they do, whether it is as a starter or coming out of the pen. And guys like A.J. Causey and Nate Snead are those guys. They feel more comfortable coming out of the pen. So you throw a starter out there, let them get you 2 innings, 3 innings, and then throw these other guys out there, and they can shut it down from there.
That's an interesting approach, but, I mean, it obviously works. And like you said, man, baseball is such a mental game. So you don't want to change up the rotation, which, you know, it is one of them for us. Like, if you do throw Jamie Arnold at Tennessee, you're going to be kind of upsetting that rotation. He's normally our Saturday guy. But I feel like, again, you have to here. Now, so some of the guys that you mentioned, Xander Sechrist is a senior left-handed pitcher, 66.1 innings pitch, 4-1 record, 3.26 ERA, 66 strikeouts, 14 walks. Impressive numbers. Nate Snead, sophomore right-handed pitcher, 67.1 innings pitch, 9-2 record, 3.34 ERA, 57 Ks, 21 walks. Now, another guy I want to ask you about that I noticed, he kind of seems to be the coverall guy. He seems to pitch a lot here and there. Graduate pitcher, left-handed pitcher, Kirby Connell, 43 innings pitched, 4-1 record, 3.98 ERA, 42 Ks, only 12 walks. Numbers are impressive, and he seems to kind of be that spot duty guy that comes up big for Tennessee at certain times.
Yeah, and I know that you didn't know this, but Kirby Connell is how you pronounce his last name.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, he's been a guy that he has been there since 2020, I believe, or maybe even 2019. He's one of those guys that the fans love him, got one of the best mustaches in the game. You got the flow to go along with it. He's just a guy that fans love, and he can give you one out, or he can go, I think he's gone as long as five innings before. So he's that utility guy, as you mentioned, that he just does it all. And he's not going to throw very hard at you. I think the fastest that he has thrown is 91. But he hits his spots, no matter if it's with the fastball, the slider, curveball, changeup. He's going to hit his spots. He's going to make you chase after that pitch, and he's so good at it. Whether you're a lefty, righty, it doesn't matter. And he's going to be sorely missed after this season. You know, as you mentioned, he is a grad senior. This is his last year. And last night, I loved what Tony Vitello did last night. His very last game in Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Brings him in. He gets a strikeout against the first batter that he faces. And Vitello's like, hey, man, let's end it right there. Get your standing ovation. And when I say every single person in the stadium was standing and chanting Kirby as he walks off the field, it was literally every single fan. Just what he means to this team, it's unbelievable.
That's awesome, man. And I have seen the stash. It was awesome. I have to give him props to that. But, yeah, man, I think, you know, it's good to let him go out on that. You know, I even saw like in that wild Clemson Florida game, which was, you know, it was really tough because it's like, I just wanted both teams to lose. You know, Clemson swept us in the regular season. So I'm like, I don't really want to play them. We swept Florida in the regular season. I'd prefer to play them, even though they're kind of getting hot right now. But man, they brought in a guy and it was funny. The broadcasters were struggling. Like, this was his first at bat in the Super Regional. And then they were like, this is his first at bat of the season. And so it was like,
oh man,
what were you doing? And so then he ends up coming in and he gets a full count. There's a couple of bad calls in there. He took off on a walk. That was a strike. He thought it was a walk. And then he ended up arguing with the umpire. And man, that's kind of where things kind of just went downhill for Clemson after that. So, you know, that was an awesome game. I mean, really, man, college baseball as a whole, I feel like I know we're football focused, with the two brands like Tennessee and Florida State. College baseball is such an underrated sport, and this postseason has been an absolute perfect example of all the just exciting games, the atmospheres that have been around, man. It's truly an underappreciated sport.
Yeah, it is, and I've got to give a shout-out to our friends from the Ohio podcast, Eric. He came on our show the other day, or he commented in the text box on YouTube, and he was like, man, I'm actually jealous of the SEC, the ACC, because of what baseball means down there. He said, here in the Big Ten, we don't have that love of baseball, but you know, it's cold for most of the first part of the season up there. We're down here, we get the good weather, baseball can be played. And you look at it, every single team that is left in the college world or in the NCAA tournament is either in the SEC or the ACC right now. That just shows what it means down here. And I think that college baseball is the fastest growing sport right now, other than football, of course, but because of the electricity that teams play with now, the passion that the players, the fans have. I mean, Tennessee baseball was dead for a long period of time. You know, went to the World Series in 2005, and then it was just a dark hole of nothing until Tony Vitello came in, and you see that they're being rewarded for that now. I mean, stadium renovations happened this past season. They're going to have some more renovations, I think, starting today. Like, they had the backhoes and stuff out there ready to start demo as soon as Tennessee was done. And you're going from, I think, Lindsey Nelson Stadium held just over 4,000 fans to next season will hold over 8,000 after all the stadium renovations come about. So, I mean, baseball is really growing fast around the area here.
Yeah, and you know, we're right around 6,000 right now at Hauser, and they've done some upgrades and things like that. They're talking about doing a lot more renovations in the future, but man, I think it's just so much fun. Like when you look at other sports, they get in each other's face, they talk smack, and you know, I always tell people, like, if you think college baseball's bad, college softball's 10 times worse. Them girls are cutthroat.
Yeah.
I love watching that too, but as we get ready to wrap this thing up, Michael, let's look, if you were the pitching coach, knowing that you're going against Florida State, one of the better offenses that you're going to face on this side of the bracket, who do you think and or who would you put out there as your starting pitcher against Florida State? Who are you putting on the mound first, or at least who do you think they're going to put on the mound first? We know, we talked about, we think Florida State has to go Jamie Arnold first. I think there's without a doubt there. Who do you think Tennessee is going to throw out there for us?
I think Tennessee is going to go with tried and true. They're going to start Chris Stamos. They're going to go AJ Causey after Stamos. And then just go from there. Probably be, you know, Kirby Cannell, Nate Snead, somebody like that to finish things off if needed. But I think that's how Tennessee's going to go. They're going to keep that rotation, go Friday night starter against Florida State. Then no matter if you win or lose, you're going Drew Beam that next game. And then from there, it's Xander Seacrest and then just pretty much Johnny Holstaff from there.
Gotcha. So, all right. We've talked about Tennessee. We've talked about how they got power across the lineup. They got good pitching. They're good on defense. This is truly, I mean, without a doubt, of course, you're the number one seed nationally, but this is the best and most complete team that Florida State has faced. So for us, we got a good offense. We got some good pitching, but how do we beat Tennessee? What is the weakness here? What did Evansville find in game two? How does Florida State find a way? If you had to pick apart, you know, kind of switching sides here for a minute, if you were looking at Tennessee looking inward, how would you attack Tennessee to win this game?
So first off would be to not put anything over the middle of the plate, because if you put anything over the middle of the plate, you miss your spots. Tennessee will make you pay. I think a lot of that, you got to try to get Tennessee chasing. You know, make them put something in the air but not deep, because that's a fear that I have for this Tennessee team is, are they going to try to rely too much on the home run? Now, luckily for most of the season, if they rely too much on it at first, they'll make an adjustment midway through the game, try to put things more on a line, just put the ball in play and see if it'll hit the gaps. But I really think you got to try to get Tennessee chasing after stuff. That's number one on it. But yeah, just don't miss your spots, because Tennessee will make you pay up and down the lineup. If you miss your spots, put something over the middle of the plate.
All right. And before we jump into the very last thing I got for you here, I just want to bring you guys a quick word from today's sponsor, Alumni Hall FSU. Guys, make sure you load up on some new baseball gear. They got College World Series gear that you guys are going to want to check out. Also, keep in mind, we're still doing the Father's Day gift card giveaway, a $100 gift card. Go check out our social channels for details on that. And use code SPEAR to get 10% off all the FSU merch that they have to offer. So we appreciate you guys supporting those that support us. So, Michael, I'm not gonna ask you to make a prediction, because I know we're both homers here. I know we're going to, you know, I'm going to be honest. I think Florida State has the horses to win. I think if Jamie Arnold comes out and he just has that night like he did against UCF and Hauser, where I think he had 12 strikeouts, he was just feeling it, he was pumped up, he was ready to go, didn't have the greatest performance against UConn quite like we thought. I think if he comes out and he plays like Jamie Arnold can, I think if the lineup is confident, and I think if we can, you know, keep our bats hot, I think we got a chance to pull this one off. But I'm not going to I'm not going to be too homerish here. It's going to be hard, man. I think this is one where Florida State's going to be in a battle, and you cannot let Tennessee get ahead of you, because if they do, and the thing is with Florida State, sometimes our offense can be boom or bust. So if it's a bust type of night and this thing starts to run away a little bit and things start to spiral, I think we're in trouble. So I know, you know, we're both probably going to pick our team to win, but how do you see this one going? I think this is going to be really just kind of two juggernauts throwing haymakers back and forth. I think it's probably going to be a high scoring game a little bit, even with our good pitchers on the mound. I think you got so much power in both of these lineups. It's probably going to be a little bit of a higher scoring fireworks show. That's my opinion. So let me know what you think is going to happen in this game. How's it going to play out?
I'm actually going to go the opposite. I think that the two pitchers, I know Tennessee is going to start Chris Stamos. And if he can get, as I mentioned a couple of times, two, three innings and then turn it over to AJ Causey, that's best case scenario. But Tennessee has shown that they can go quick to AJ Causey. So if Stamos gives up a couple of hits, they're going immediately to Causey, whether that be with him getting zero outs or him getting three innings of work. So I think that these starting pitchers or the guys that are out there are going to mow down the order at least once, maybe twice. But once these teams get to their bullpens, then that's when the fireworks are going to show up. So I think it's going to be low scoring early with a lot of runs late in the ballgame.
I think you're spot on, man. I really think this game's going to come down to the end, the bullpen. How do they hang on? And that makes me a little bit nervous because that's what we were talking about earlier.
And, you know, that's the one place that I feel like Tennessee has got an advantage because Tennessee does not have the best bullpen in the world, but they have won some games for us. They also lost to some games as they did against Evansville in game two because Tennessee went up early. And then when the bullpen came out there, everything fell apart for Tennessee. So, but I do think that overall Tennessee's bullpen has been pretty consistent. So I think that's the one place that I give advantage Tennessee. Everywhere else, it's pretty even. I would even lean slightly towards Florida State when it comes to starting pitching because you've got a guy like you do in Jamie Arnold. Sorry, I was looking at wrong side of the ball when my computer restarted. I lost everything that I had pulled up. But when you got a guy like Jamie Arnold, that's where I would lean slightly towards starting pitching staff. Going Florida State. So, you know, other than that, it's going to be pretty even all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, our bullpen has been good. They've won us games. They've also lost some games. It's just the inconsistency that you just don't know what you're going to get. But I think it's going to be a fun game, man. I think this is going to be, like I said in the opening, I think this is going to be, you know, can't miss TV, must see TV. I think this is going to be an awesome game. Of course, we will find out the actual schedule tonight, Monday night at around 7 p.m., depending on when you're watching this. It may already be out or not. So we will know times and dates for everything as well. Now, before we get out of here, guys, make sure you check us both out on the College Huddle. Obviously, we got over 70-plus podcasts that are teamed up to bring you basically nationwide coverage. I mean, like I said, we got every team in this tournament covered, and we're going to be working together throughout football season and all this stuff to keep things going. But we are so appreciative to have Michael from the Vol Fanatics come on and give us an insider look at this Tennessee Vols team. And Michael, give everybody a chance to go check out what you guys are doing at the Vol Fanatics, where they can find you, and what you guys got going on.
Yeah, so you can find us on Twitter, Vol Fanatics 1998. We are on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple, Vol Fanatics Show. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. And if you come on tonight at 7 Eastern, we're going to have Jesse on with us doing a little preview as well. So appreciate him coming on there. But, of course, you can catch both of us, as Jesse mentioned, on the College Huddle. Just go to the College Huddle website and then search for either Tennessee or Florida State. But, Jesse, really appreciate you having me on. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to have some fun tonight as well. And I can't wait for this College World Series.
Oh, man, I'm really excited. And, of course, guys, make sure you go over there and you check those guys out, like their pages, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. I will link everything below if you're watching on YouTube, so it'll be nice and easy for you. So, Michael, thanks again for joining us. Oh, man, this is going to be a fun one. I ain't going to lie. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous. The farther you get, the more nervous you get. You know, we have a saying sometimes in Tallahassee where it's like 1-2 and barbecue, and hopefully we can make it a little bit farther with a little bit of Mike Martin magic on our side. But that's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you so much for watching. Drop a like and subscribe to Plant the Spear to stay connected. And I know, you know, me, it's funny, my co-host name is Michael as well. So I usually say, hey, Michael, you know, we're going to end this like we always do with a Go Noles. I know you're not going to be able to squeeze that one in there, so it's all good. But, you know, just, man, good luck. And again, I appreciate you coming on. And I'll see you tonight, my friend.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, man.